That's good.
Man, you guys are leaving me hanging. It's like no confidence.
Fraction of the second off. Like,
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, that's me too. Yeah.
Oh my god. 1, 2, 3.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
It kind of, yeah. 1, 2, 3.
One more time.
Oh my god.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pursuing Pixels. This is episode number 72, and my name is Kevin Portelli, and I'm here tonight with Randall Nollery.
Hey, everybody.
John Hines.
Hi there.
And DJ Mandolini.
Yo.
And we got a full house back again tonight, and guess what, guys? Gonna talk some video games.
Oh, nice.
Surprise.
whether we like it or not.
Refreshed.
Or whether you like it or not. But, yeah, DJ, I know when you were rattling off last week your massive list of all the games you've completed, I wanted to have your thoughts, because you and I have played, and I know Randall and I have talked a little bit, and everybody probably knows what Fall Guys is all about at this point. If you're unfamiliar, I don't know how you could not be. But yeah, I know you've been playing a ton of it. You and I have played some together online, actually quite a bit. That's been the primary source of my experience. So,
yeah, I mean, you've probably covered a lot of what I have to say. I mean, I was very interested, like, at first. This might be maybe a shorter conversation, because I feel like my interest has, like, plummeted a lot recently, actually.
Those were the thoughts I was going to share. So
I was going to say your interest plummeted because you have no more worlds to conquer,
right?
Because you kept winning. So
right. I mean, yeah, but when DJ and I would play it, I'm sure I mentioned this when we talked about it before, but yeah, he'd win like three matches in a row,
which is
like
just
crowns in a row. I was like, oh man,
there's only one trophy I have yet to get, and that's win five matches in a row, which I don't think I'll ever do.
Do they post percentages of like what people have gotten trophies, or is that more of a,
like, your KD ratio basically?
Yeah, they,
like, what
they,
is the
percentage of people who got that trophy? I think it's last time I checked, I think it was like 0.2%.
It has to be.
Jesus, yeah, that's crazy. Because there's so many games that kind of depend. They're team based, you know. So it's just very hard to pull off five in a row.
Yeah,
right.
Which, like, I think that's something I'm looking forward to them changing if they do, is like kind of breaking up the solo and team games into maybe different like modes, or I don't know, like some way where, you know, you can have maybe like an all solo run or something like that.
Yeah. And I know we talked about how that would maybe like potentially split up the user base. Like, it'd be a cool in theory, but maybe it would split up. I know they have so many people playing right now, so it'd probably be okay for the time being. But if you have like, oh, I want to play these single, like, you know what I mean? It'd be tougher to get like 60 players all in a match.
A lot of battle royales are basically like solo though that way. I think they could pull it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I just meant if you're like splitting it up into people like picking, oh, I want to play the only solo mode and I want to play the only team mode. Like,
yeah,
you'd be divvying up the entire base into like multiple groups.
That's fair.
I still think there's plenty of people playing, but
that
just something
sense
over time could maybe, if we're already talking about being burned out on the game a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. I do think the risk would be not enough people doing the team games, but maybe that should clue them in that the team games aren't as good, maybe.
Yeah.
But
although I will say, you know, when I'm booting it up, I'm kind of just playing like mostly to play with you or with somebody else, to like kind of for the goofy, like if I'm ever going to play it again, it's definitely going to be with friends. I just don't, even with, there's a new update coming out in October, shortly around the time this episode's coming out. But yeah, I think I still don't really see myself having a draw to come back. My PlayStation Plus subscription expires pretty soon, and I think I might just let it burn.
Whoa. You keep saying that.
I've already
you make
canceled.
That if threat,
I, if
you
I,
gotta
no,
commit
I've already
to
canceled it. If I don't change what I've selected, it will not reapply.
I've canceled my card.
No, I have it where it won't renew right now, but I can change it technically before the middle of the month.
You got time.
But I really don't think I'm going to.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the same boat. Like, I would need to play this with friends or wait until some new maps are released or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because, like,
it sounds like they're going to do.
like I've won over 30 times. I don't think there's really.
Oh, wow.
That's nuts. Because, yeah, I have not won once.
Me
probably
because
I'm playing with DJ every time.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That kind of lowers your odds automatically at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we can keep the Fall Guys conversation pretty short. I guess, yeah, I was super hyped on this one, even. Yeah. I was super hyped on this one. What's that?
That's what I always bring to the table, is redeeming the full name of this game, which is Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout.
That's right. That's right. Well, a couple of games that I wanted to talk about real quick. There was actually, I had a recent back and forth with the developer on Twitter of this game called Spear, which is spelled S-P-E-E-R, and it actually has like brackets around it. Mm-hmm. But I saw like a post about a Goofy movie, which is one of my favorite Disney movies. And I was just like, oh, I was like, and then after I responded to it, I was like, this name sounds kind of familiar. What? And I was like, oh, you know what? I remember playing this game Spear, and I'm pretty sure this is the developer. And nice. Sure enough, it was. And it's an awesome, I love this game. I did it. It was one of the earlier, it was part of the itch.io bundle for racial justice and equality that we've mentioned numerous times on many episodes here. But it's like a very, it's got like a, the like super 8-bit retro style. It's a side scrolling platformer, but like single screen stages.
Nice.
And essentially the whole, you can throw your spear and it sticks into the wall. And then when it sticks into the wall, you can jump on it as a platform, and you don't have to recollect it. But as soon as you throw another spear, it the one that you're standing on will disappear. So you're doing a lot of like to climb up a wall. You got to like jump, throw a spear while you're on the, you know, upswing of your jump, then land, then jump, throw it again while you're, you know what I mean? You got to kind of climb up. But then it starts getting super tricky, and it's got the graphics, like with the 8-bit style, is like very Sega Master System.
I'm into it.
It's very like Alex Kidd vibes.
All right.
But the spear also, like, if you throw like these, even though they're single screen levels, they're decent amount, like you're doing a decent amount of platforming and jumping over spikes and all this kind of stuff. And you're basically just trying to get to the end goal of each level. And then each level has an optional collectible if you want to go for like the extra challenge kind of thing. And there's 100 levels, four worlds of 25 levels each. And like, I got to world two, and I'm like, now I'm having to like throw my spear to pop a balloon that has like a bundle of like TNT hanging from it that I knock down so that I can throw my spear into that to blow it up. Or I can like hit the spear into the, like, instead of hitting the balloon to pop it, I'll hit the TNT and it'll carry it into like a wooden wall to explode it.
Yeah.
There's just so many cool mechanics. You're like throwing to hit switches and stuff. And I don't think I finished this thought before, but since the levels aren't like, they're single screen, but they're a decent distance to cover, so that the spear has like just a slight arc to it. Like, You throw it, if you're throwing a short range, it looks like you just throw it directly straight. But if you're throwing it all the way across the screen, it definitely has like, it dips slowly as it gets like further along. So you've got to kind of like Cave Blazers a little bit. Like it has that kind of like gravity. It's affected by gravity just a smidge. But like you have to like, you know, just some of the jumps you have to make to like thread the needle for the spear to hit this red switch that will make it, make a platform that you can walk across. And then just a really cleverly designed levels. I really, really, really love this game. And it just reminded me that I got to go back and finish it. Cause yeah, I did it as part of the 15 minutes of game series early on. And I was just like, oh man, I really, really love this game.
Nice.
And yeah, I just, the music's great. Yeah, there's just nothing bad I can say about this one.
Awesome.
So, yeah, and I think we all bought that bundle, so y'all should definitely check that one out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I've yet to tap into it. It's, you know, I've got, like, my backlog of PS Plus games, and then, like, I don't want to even think about all these other games I now own.
Well, yeah, thousands or hundreds of others.
Games. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, one more game I wanted to mention real quick that I didn't plan on talking about until I finished it and played it. Was recording a new video for 15 minutes of game, which by the time this episode comes out, I'm sure I'll have it up. But it's a game called Out of Ammo, and it's a shoot 'em up breakout hybrid game. And so you can't actually shoot. You have like a ship that's, you know, it's kind of like a Tate mode presentation.
Okay.
And you have your ship at the bottom of the screen. There's like a line that you can't cross, and then you can't actually shoot. Your ship's kind of like it's like a space shuttle almost, and it's facing backwards. And then so you're not actually shooting, you're actually ejecting your core, and that's like the ball that you're bouncing off of bricks and stuff. And then there's like little enemies that you, there's basically just like, instead of breaking all the bricks on a level, there's like a mini boss or like a slightly bigger boss at the end of each stage. And there's just six stages. It took me only like 10, 15 minutes to beat.
Jeez.
But it's, it's not super difficult, but the other cool thing is like, so not only are you just using your ship to kind of, reflect the ball or deflect the ball back at the bricks or the enemies, the enemies will keep respawning other than the main boss, but you also can like, I think it's called your accelerator, but like your essentially your like exhaust, you can every like maybe 5-10 seconds that charges up, and then you can fire that as like a laser beam almost like out of the back. That's why your ship is kind of faced in reverse, mm-hmm. and you're like launching your exhaust to like redirect the ball or your core that's out in play.
Okay.
And you can like shoot that and launch it. So like you're really having to like and then you're also, since you're controlling a ship, you got to dodge enemy projectiles that are getting shot at you as well. But yeah, it's like just like a nice short and sweet. It's got a really great, like simple color palette. It's heavily inspired by the game Zero Ranger, if anyone's familiar with that. It's another like indie shoot 'em up, I think.
Hmm.
I think just by like that's just what the developer said on the page. I think Okay. Even on the title screen of the game, I think it even said Inspiration Zero Ranger.
Nice.
And there was another game in there too.
That,
but
like Donkey put in one of his like top of the years. So,
cool. And it's, I know it's a shmup, so, and I know we love our shmup, so most of us do. So,
I'm a very specific question I have is, where is the location of the ship? Is it at the bottom of the screen?
It's bottom of the screen, but unlike Strikey Sisters and Bot Vice, you do have a little bit of vertical control. There is like a line that you can't cross, but you can move side to side, but you can move front to back.
So, you're
just
not necessarily
a tiny bit.
Like dodging stuff from, you're only dodging projectiles coming from the top of the
from
screen.
The top, yeah. Everything's
okay.
Up
it's
at the top,
like a
yeah.
Bullet hell in that respect, okay.
Yeah, it's not scrolling. It's kind of like a static screen.
Okay.
That you're just trying to clear all the, or not even clear all the bricks. You're just trying to actually kill the boss. And it has a great, actually, just like, it kind of does like a scroll, like a, you know, Star Wars style at the beginning of the game, but it just explains all the mechanics real quick, like super short and sweet. And I really appreciated that, but really loved the experience. Like I was just like grinning ear to ear.
Nice.
And it kind of juked me a couple times where I was like, I think I beat it. And I was like, it was just a short little maybe game jam game or something. But I think it was like the developer, I think his name is Harry Wilson. I could be wrong on that, but I'll have a link in the episode description. But I think he like mentioned like on his page, like I work at a AAA studio, but otherwise I just make games that I don't finish and then upload them anyways.
Nice.
But this one still, even though it's bite-sized, definitely still to me felt like a complete experience. It's certainly no Monster Boy 30 hour plus jam, but
I will beat that game.
But yeah, I just wanted to rattle both those off real quick because I just had an absolute blast with those.
Awesome.
But yeah, I know, speaking of before we recorded tonight and what I was playing, I know John and DJ, you both were playing some Civilization 6. And I know that Randall and I both have this game and physical form on Nintendo Switch, and we're waiting for you to convince us to play it or maybe talk us out of it.
Factory sealed, baby.
What? I've unwrapped mine.
Oh, what's nice?
Well, I got it at GameStop. It was there was already open, but it was only $15, so I had to go for it.
Sure.
Why is it that either of you feel the need to be convinced?
Because I have so many games in my backlog. We were just talking about
you don't
backlog,
care about
DJ.
Backlogs.
Not really.
My backlog is just that they're, like I just mentioned, a bunch of bite-sized games. Like that's usually what I lean towards.
Mm.
And I just like, this is obviously not that. So like, I really need to know like, man, this really got me so hooked, because I can get hooked into these kind of strategy, more in-depth type things.
Same.
But it's really, I got to know that, or maybe if you guys want to play online or something, because I know that's an option as well. So like that, I would be interested in that, maybe.
Oh my god. I put so many hours into this game and I still am convinced that DJ would just slaughter me. Like, the second that like we would encounter each other on the map, it would just be a massacre.
Nah. Yeah, because you've talked about this a little on the podcast before, John, right? About how you like your different strategies. I think we've talked about Civilization. If not, you've talked to me about it.
The board game.
About
think.
How like your strategies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about the board game.
I think I've talked about both the board game and the actual game.
Yeah.
76.
Because I remember some of your like play style strat. Like you'd talk about how you would set up the map with like the minimum amount of conflict so you could just kind of play it almost like a city builder,
Yeah.
Interesting. So you never go for the military strategy?
I don't. I've that's the other thing is that like I've done it a few times. Where,
you don't want to
like,
fight.
I don't want to fight. I like. Well, that's the other thing is that like in the few times that I have done it, like just a straight. Like I haven't, you know, I'm still kind of a wuss, so I'll put it on a very easy setting. I won't like, you know, tilt the scales too far out of my favor. And like the, even then when I like encounter and like actually start, you know, waging war on another civilization, like as soon as you beat it or like take over the other civilization, like the game ends. And I was like, I want to keep playing. I want to just like see how far, like there are so many skill trees. I want to just max out every single one.
So you'd only play against one other civilization?
One other civilization. Yes, I've only in the games Johnny that I've played. there are city states. I establish trade and become what? Sazeran? Is that the term for?
Right. That was the first time I had experienced that term.
Oh man. In like managing trade routes.
Yeah, how have you been playing, DJ? Like what's your tactic when you're going into this game?
Well, okay. So my experience with Civ games is a bit limited. Like I played a little Civ 4 in college and I was just like very deep into it, like within 2 weeks of playing it. And I was just like, I can't, this isn't sustainable. Like this is going to wreck me. And I really haven't touched it since then. There was once a few years ago, I did pick up Civ 5, played it for like a day. And that day I stayed up till 7 a.m. So
you're almost like keeping yourself away from these games to
there's
self safety measure or whatever.
There's always been an itch, and like you know, I tried satiating that itch with some Warcraft 3 the other night, and that just wasn't satisfying it. Normally it does. But yeah, I finally buckled, bought Civ 6, but I've done the tutorial because like, you know, it's been a while and like there is a lot to the game. I'm not going to like sugarcoat that. There's a lot to this game, but I think the tutorial does a good job of walking you through all those parts.
How long is the tutorial?
Over an hour for me. Well,
That's fair.
Yeah, I can live with
something
that.
Like that.
It's
kind of walking
like,
you through and building it up proper, you know, in a nice progression and stuff.
Yeah, like it explains things to a point, and then it's like, okay, if like you want to just finish this off and defeat the enemy, you can. But like, there's a point where they stop explaining, and you're just carrying it on till the end.
Okay. Cool.
So I did that. I've played one like game against AIs, which may have been my first ever victory in this game. I colonized Mars.
The science victory.
Yeah. I've actually been spending a good amount of time on the scenarios section, which there are only four scenarios that they offer. I'm on the third right now, but they've got like starts out with like Alexander the Great, and it's like a purely military, like you have to defeat all these cities within this many turns. So, and then like there's another one where you're like Poland and like defending against like so many like Ottoman armies. You're just trying to outlast for a certain amount of turns. And right now I'm on like this Australian like exploration one where there's no fighting at all, but it's all about like you're trying to raise your economy to like you want to raise your economy to like a certain like income level by the end of so many turns. And
you're talking my language there.
John's exploding.
I'm so excited for that.
I am struggling with this. I mean, I must be like missing something fundamental, but like, I don't know. I'm playing on.
How are your roads? How are your traders?
the one I'm doing now is pretty good. I'm figuring trade out. I was completely wrong in one of my assumptions regarding trade. So like, you know, when you pick your routes, it's like, you know, certain amount of resources that you'd get and then like the time span. I thought that it was after that time span happens, then you get
those resources.
Yes. But in reality, it is during that time span you get those resources. Yes. So I had been severely undervaluing trade.
Oh, yes. That's why you got to keep making traders, keep getting more routes.
Yeah. But so I'll say that, like, you know, although the tutorial does a good job, there are a lot of elements like that that aren't clear that you're just going to have to discover while playing the game. But it's not
100%.
Yeah. It doesn't like wreck your experience, though.
Yeah. It is such a deep game in that there are so many like different aspects of it that like I will forget about them as I'm doing like a normal scenario against an AI, like without like doing one of the like preset ones. Like I'll be like midway through something and I'm like, ah, shit, I haven't upgraded my religion at all. Like I've just been ignoring that, or like I've been focusing too much on production of units and I haven't been like building up the like walls around my city, or developing like using builders to like gather different types of resources.
Yeah, I've been trying to pay more attention to the different types of improvements that like builders can make, and like the different yields from different tiles. Like I just would gloss over that stuff and be like, oh, the person can build something here, cool. But it's, there is like more to like maximizing your yields and stuff like that. And I think these scenarios do a good job because, like, you know, that Alexander the Great one, like you're just focused on military stuff. So like it's good to teach you more about that. And like with this Australian one, which the interesting thing is that you have all these different yields you can get, but you don't have your standard builder unit that can build like improvements everywhere. You have specific types of builders for specific things. You have like farmers, you have fishers, you have prospectors. Yes. You have, yeah.
This game's turn-based, right? It's not real time.
It is okay. Turn-based, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I was like, this sounded over my head.
But like your turns go very quickly because it's automated. Like you will start a project that like when you as you build more cities, like the timer that it takes to build more things kind of grows exponentially, so that you can't just like keep pumping things out. Like by the time that you reach your fourth city, you are routinely getting things that will take 90 turns to complete.
Jesus.
Yeah,
it's, and like that seems like a long time, but like turns happen relatively quickly, like because all the computations are happening internally in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely
neither of you have the DLC, do you?
No.
There's a couple DLC packs. I know one adds in like global warming and all kinds of like natural disasters and weather, and I forget what the second one adds, but there's a couple pretty big, like it's like a $50 expansion pack if you get both of them. So it's a pretty substantial addition to the game too.
Right.
I mean, I gotta get a better handle on what's the base content before I get into any of that. I need to
like
play
I've
a
spent
multiplayer
dozens of
game.
Hours.
Yeah.
And I would also need like some time before I feel comfortable complicating the process.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Randall? Are you sold? Are you going to be unwrapping that physical copy?
Yeah, I might. I'd probably be more John's route of pacifism and infrastructure than anything else, but
yeah. I give you the hookup on what my setup is.
Yeah. The different scenarios are definitely what sounds kind of interesting to me, in all honesty. Like that, I like those kind of almost like, I don't know if they feel puzzly at all, but just kind of like, oh, you have to kind of do something specific. Like, I don't know, you maybe have to get a little more specific with your strategy.
In a way they are. You do have to like approach them in clever ways, especially because like by how much the difficulty ramps up. As you increase the difficulties, it is very significant. Like the Australian one I'm doing right now, by the end I need to obtain an income of 600 gold per turn, which is
Jesus.
Yeah.
I have no frame of reference for that, but obviously John knows that's a lot of dough.
Yeah, like you can buy like monuments and stuff for like 200.
You have to do that within 60 turns.
Okay, geez. Okay. All right. Well, I think we could pretty much wrap up the Civ conversation there until we maybe some other of us dive into it as well.
Please.
That's until right. we all get in a 4-player game together.
I would be interested in trying that, although I'd have to obviously play that tutorial. So
yeah.
Well, John, you were saying that like, you know, it kind of chugs a bit with your Switch, like it gets hot.
On Switch.
Like, is it like laggy though, or is it just like
work it it's that off. Like jet engine. Okay. Like you can just hear it.
Okay.
I actually think like there have been some updates since I last played it, and I think it runs a little bit smoother, but I think it still absolutely like chugs the later you get into the game and the more mechanics you get. Once you like unlock flight, like you're in dangerous territory there.
Yeah, like I'm noticing, you know, a lot of time after I click the, you know, end turn button, but I think that's just that there's so many things happening on the map, not necessarily that I'm lagging. It's just
Also, yeah, once you end your turn, that's the computer like doing their turn. So there's probably a lot happening on that end too,
because they just speed through that, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but they do like these animations whenever there's a military conflict. So those kind of have like a set amount of time that they're going to play through anyways. So there is
although you can move to the next well, I guess when it's your turn, like you, if you're engaging in combat, you can just hit the X button and like advance to the next unit. So that's happening simultaneous to you moving your next unit.
The one thing I don't like, so you can quickly swap between like different units that can do actions in a turn. But if you've got a city that has like completed building something, and needs to queue something else up, you can't like just be like, I'll get back to that later and go to something else. Like you have to pick something on that, which like it's maybe a small inconvenience, but it's like, man, like I just wish.
It's a similar thing like when you, if you have like, say, a unit that's defending, like the default state is that it's like, oh, you want this to like defend forever. So if you're just using that fortify, automatic advance,
I wish I'm a like, way God, to, yep.
Just cycle through and like confirm, like, yeah, I want this unit to like stay here. Cause there are times where I'm like, I know I have a builder unit and it's just because I told it like 70 turns ago to like stay at one area. Yeah.
You get used to just being able to cycle through everything that can do something, but there's other pieces you might be missing. And that can be a little frustrating to have to like comb over your entire civilization and be like, all right, who's not doing something?
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, okay. Well, before we dive into like the final conversation here, that we're going to have, with our video game buying habits and all that, Randall, I know you asked me a couple weeks ago as I was talking about New Super Lucky's Tale and just gushing.
You were hyping constantly. Hard, dude.
Yeah, and I ended up finishing the game pretty much this week.
Nice.
I'm going to give a soft spoiler alert, although, again, I think this is nothing to worry about.
Yeah, it's
and I
a
think
platformer.
A huge selling point of the game.
Yeah.
And because the reason I say not a spoiler alert, because there's, I think I even mentioned on the podcast, like it seemed like that when I talked about it before, and this is just like a 3D platformer, and I was like putting it up there, you know, like I was, Randall was like, I want to hear what you think after you finish this game.
Because
I was like putting it up there with Mario Galaxy, which is maybe, you know, off the top of my head, at least my favorite 3D platformer.
Yeah.
The first one. And I gotta say that might have changed. The New Super Lucky's Tale is fucking amazing.
Ooh.
It is. So I think I mentioned that there were 6 worlds in the game, but you beat the game after 5 worlds.
Okay.
And then the 6th world is Foxington. And you have to prove, and you obviously play as a fox in this game, and you have to prove that you're like, you do all these challenges to be like, become a guardian. And I think I mentioned that there's normally like, I think 5 or 6 levels per world of the first 5. But number one, the boss battle, the final boss battle was amazing. Every boss battle beats every Bowser boss battle that you could ever imagine. But like by a lot, the
They're
final
tough,
boss
though.
Battle was The Bowser ones?
No. No, the new Super Lucky's Tale.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I was going to say, the Bowser ones are usually a little too easy for me, but this one was like, it was throwing some of the, you know, you got the usual, like, oh, the enemy comes down and does a huge ground pound, and now there's a radius coming out, you know, from around them, or a giant circle that grows, and you got to keep jumping, but like, you're on these like shifting platforms that are moving all around. But anyways, once you beat the game, you get to go to Foxington. And then there's way more levels in this where there's actually like a boss rush mode, or actually not boss rush. You have to beat each boss individually as like a more challenging version of the boss. Like they're throwing out like metal versions of the enemies that you can't jump on. You have to swipe them with your tail and like kick them at other times. And you're on moving platforms instead of still ones. And again, there's like these almost bullet hell sections that I mentioned before. But then there's also like these crazy, there's like maybe, I think, 7 or 8 like hardcore platforming challenge levels that are like, you know, like the Super Mario Sunshine style, like where they take away your flood unit and you're kind of doing those extra challenging, like precise platforming levels. Like I've only done maybe 3. I haven't fully completed all of Foxington yet, but this, like, I was already, when I, even before I got to Foxington, I was like, I think this game might outshine Super Mario Galaxy.
Plant the flag,
Kevin. I got here.
Plant the flag.
It's better. It's for sure. This game is amazing. And the reason I wanted to get into it is like, I would have to go back and play Super Mario Galaxy in all honesty, but, and the reason we wanted to get into this, and I don't know exactly when this is going to line up, but like, this is a game that even though I played it on Game Pass, I'm going to want to pick this up physically.
Nice.
Like I said, it's one of my favorite games.
Nice.
I don't know what platform I would end up getting it on, most likely Switch, even though I know it, I think even on PC, I think it runs in like 2160p or something like that. It's like
4K,
some crazy 4K format. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But I'm just playing it on Xbox. It still looked great on Xbox One, but it's such an experience. Like, I know I'm going to want to relive this game again, and I'm like, I'm going to want to own this game physically because, number one, especially because I did, it's not like I bought it digitally. You know, it's part of a subscription service that I have. But obviously, I'm talking about Game Pass all the time, and on the podcast, and this is probably the first one that I've said, yeah, I need to own this game. There's even been games that, like, I bought Children of Morta physically in cartridge format on Switch, but then it came out on Game Pass right after I bought it. And honestly, I played it there because I heard it was kind of had some issues when it first came out on Switch.
Yeah.
And now that I've played it, I'm like, I don't even know if I need to own this game. So I'm thinking about maybe getting rid of that cartridge. So, like, I guess kind of just rolling into that, like, I'll just end the Super Lucky's Tale by just saying, new Super Lucky's Tale, if you like 3D platformers, this is hands down the best indie version of it by far.
I mean,
there's
awesome.
Not even a close contest.
That's fantastic.
But I think it holds up above even the best of the best. So, but yeah, I know we've kind of all talked about this a lot, kind of in our little Discord chat and in our hangouts and stuff. We're always kind of discussing, like, why are you buying this game, or why are you canceling your PS Plus, or why, you know, we just have a bunch of different reasons, we all have different habits with our purchases. You know, Randall and I lean a little more collector, DJ and John. John collects a lot too, actually. I always forget you just have a shit ton of cartridges. Yeah, but I'm kind of in between these days, but I've been talking a bunch here in this episode, and Randall, I know we haven't had, since we're still chipping away at Monster Boy here, we've been kind of leaving you out here, so why don't we let you take the lead, since I think you maybe have even more specific credentials than me.
Yeah, I've got a lot of physical games. I have literally hundreds of physical games, and that's because I've essentially been collecting since I was, I don't know, 8, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I just never sold stuff.
Same.
So I just have this massive collection that, because now retro gaming is this huge thing. Like, I could never afford to have this collection these days, but because I got this stuff when it was out or when nobody cared about it, I have it now, which is great. And yeah, I lean more on the physical side, you know, especially physical cartridges. Physical cartridges to me are like forever. You know, maybe that's not actually the case. Maybe they will fail at some point, but at least in my head, physical cartridges are something that can't be taken away from me. It's always going to exist on that format, even as compared to like a CD. There's things that, you know, other folks will talk about online, like they have these CDs with little holes in them because of bit rot or, you know, disc rot that happens over time on a disc that doesn't typically happen on a cartridge. So
yeah, I had that happen on the copy. DJ for one of my previous birthdays got me a copy of WWE 2K17, and I was not able to play it because it had like some chips in the middle of the disc. It wouldn't boot up.
That's a big loss. No, I love WWF No Mercy, so I'm not talking trash about wrestling games in general. Just the later games have not been quite as good.
Especially the most recent one, 2K20 or whatever. I know that was just an abomination.
But no, yeah, I'm a huge fan of physical. I still buy a lot of, like, say, limited runs releases where not only are they trying to make sure that they've got the most updated patched version that they're stamping on a cartridge, but they're also typically providing you a manual to go along with your physical box. And I'm a huge sucker for that. You know, that's just something I'll have forever. But of course, there's downsides too. It's costly. You know, you'll probably spend at least $30, if not $40, for said physical copy, as opposed to maybe it's on sale for the eShop and it's half off for $7.50. You know, that type of stuff happens a lot. So it's not an easy sell that way, but, you know, I kind of prioritize it for that reason, just because I like to have the physical ownership. It can't be taken away from me, or the system, if it dies, I can get another one and still play my games down the road. That's just kind of where I stand with it.
Yeah, I think I lean a little more, like, I'm half and half. Like, I definitely want to have the retro cartridges, and I think I've mentioned kind of whittling down or wanting to whittle down my collection to be like, I want to just have the games I'm really going to play, or, like, the real classics.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to have every game that's ever been mentioned as a decent Super Nintendo game.
Right.
But, like, when it comes to the newer stuff, I think what really changed my habits was when I started playing stuff like Enter the Gungeon and Downwell and these roguelikes, that I was like, there's just a certain type, or a Rocket League even, where I was like, I think that was one of the first where I was like, man, I don't usually buy a digital game that's more than $15. I always like just had a weird like thing of like 20 is kind of pricey for a digital download.
Sure.
But Rocket League was $20. And I was like, I just want to be able to fire this game up whenever I want.
Easily
I don't need
worth
to.
It.
I know it's such a lazy thing to say, but like, I don't want to have to pop in the cartridge.
No, it's worth something.
And it's worth a ton to me, because like I said, there's even games, like I said, Children of Morta, that I bought the cartridge, and once I played it on Game Pass, I was like, man, I mean, it might leave Game Pass eventually, but for what it's worth, if I'm able to finish it and get everything I want out of that game, it's like, I'm probably not going to play this again. There's going to be a constant stream of new indie games I want to check out and this and that. So like, it just kind of depends on the game for me when it comes to the new stuff. But like, yeah, when it comes to like, if it's a full retail game or the new Mario game, you know, I'm probably going to get the physical copy. Although I got to say, I think I'm going to skip the Mario 3-pack, at least the 3D All-Stars collection, because I'm not a big 64 fan. Mario, like, it's just another cash grab. I have the cartridges. I have the games. They're not upgrading them enough for me. I'm not really that interested in this particular package.
That's fair.
I'll probably get 3D World, because they're adding that extra like Bowser Zone. I know. Are you still on you getting the deals on the pre-order still?
I'm not at this point. No.
Okay. Hey, if you're going all in, $60. Hey, I can't blame you. I mean, there was a time in my life I couldn't even believe that I wasn't going to do that. So.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I was going to say, like, on that specifically, like, I think I've weaned down my collection of physical purchases, and as of late, I'm much more likely to buy a digital copy of a game, or especially in, you know, Steam sales or in the Epic Store. Like, since starting Dauntless, I now have an Epic Store account, and they're just offering a free game basically every week.
Yeah.
And I'm just logging into it and claiming that I haven't bought a single thing on the Epic Game Store, but I have already a small library that I'm building.
That's awesome.
Same with that itch.io, like with the like bundle for racial justice. Like, I now have hundreds of games in a library that I just have access to. And, you know, I'm not as shy of buying a digital copy of a game that I used to be. Like, I used to be more on, you know, Randall's side of things, where I would have to get a physical copy of a game that, like, you know, I wanted to own, and I wanted to make sure that I had a version of that.
Yeah.
And even with, like, you know, the, like, specifically that 3D All-Stars for Mario, that collection, I own all those games.
Yep.
I don't necessarily need to buy something that's not, you know, there's not an expanded like version of anything. Like, honestly, if it was more like of a, I don't know, where you're splitting hairs over the term of like a remake versus a remaster,
right,
or whatever. Yeah. Like, if it was something more where, you know, it was like, hey, we've completely remade this game and like rebuilt it in like, say, the Odyssey engine, and all three of the games look completely different. That's something I would 100%
yep.
just I'd be pre-ordered. It would be pre-ordered right now for sure. Because one of my things is Mario 64. The controls, like DJ and I a long time ago did a thing where we were like, I don't think we ever got all the way through, but we're like, we're going to play through all the Mario games. I think it was after we did the Mega Man games.
Yeah, we didn't get far.
And I think we only got through Mario 64. Like, as soon as we played that, we were like, yeah, that game kind of sucks. I mean, that's so extreme, but it just feels so clunky after you've played stuff like Galaxy and Odyssey, which I don't even love Odyssey that much, but just the way it feels to control Mario, it's really hard to go back, at least just like it is for me to go back to the original Super Mario Brothers, the first one on NES.
Right. I will say, too, like a lot of the games released in like the Racial Justice Bundle or on Epic are indie games. And it's, you know, a lot of these games will never get physical releases. So, you know, you don't want that to hold you back from having a shared experience, especially with others while others are playing said game, you know. And, you know, that's a big factor, too. And I will say, you know, I'm a huge advocate for physical, but like on Xbox One, I have no physical games. I've only bought digital and then had Game Pass, and I'm completely comfortable with that. And part of that's because, like, in that instance, Microsoft has shown me enough that they're moving forward with the, you know, having the, you know, compatibility with original Xbox and 360 and into the future, where I'm like, okay, I can buy this on sale digitally and have a decent confidence that I'll still have access to these games into the future.
The Microsoft store is not going anywhere.
In theory, yeah, you know, and that's still a risk, but, you know, I feel a little bit more confident that that would be the case.
Yeah, and since we're leaning in the digital direction, I know, DJ, you kind of tend to lean more that way. So what's your kind of thoughts on all this stuff?
Yeah, I'm looking over at my physical game collection. I think there's like 5 games. Yeah.
I know I own a couple of yours that you are, previously owned games.
Just take more. I think it's maybe a little different for me. I think I probably replay games less than the rest of you. I think I mean, part of it just being like, you know, I've played it. I don't need to play it again. But also, like, I've got like all the other games in my backlog I need to get to. I can't go back to an old game. I got some games to check off. I think there's an element too where, like, right now I'm in my 7th apartment in the past 9 years, so I've done a lot of moving. That is made me really, like, generally be pretty minimalistic, and that has, you know, caused me to get rid of like a lot of during that time I'd gotten rid of like my N64, something like, if you had told me like 9 years ago that I would do that one day, I wouldn't believe you. But it's just it just gets to that point where, you know, like, I don't know, like, what value am I getting out of it just hanging on to these things when there's theoretically, like, I could just give or sell to someone who would appreciate it more than I currently am. So I don't know. I mean, I totally get that there's, like, you know, some sentimental value to, like, having that physical copy. But I don't know. I think I've at this point, like, succumbed to such a minimalism that, like, I can't justify it. I mean, like, and back to like the replaying games, I can only like think of like a couple games where I would like rebuy. Like, I did Dark Souls Remastered. I mean, that's because I had gotten rid of my PS3, so I didn't have access to that game anymore. So and I mean, similar will be for, you know, when the PS5 comes out, Demon's Souls Remastered.
Yeah, totally. So
fucking pumped for that.
Totally.
But they're, I mean, they're like kind of not remaking, but I mean, they're kind of full remastering that, right? I mean, it's going to look much, much improved. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was an early PS3 game, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Demon Souls.
Yeah. Did I play that on your Xbox? I can't remember. But yeah, it was.
I don't think so.
It was back when we were living together.
I want to say that guy was PS3 only, but I'm not.
I think
positive.
It was. Yeah, oh, okay. I think it was.
My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, physical copies. I wonder how long they will be a thing.
Yeah, honestly, good question.
I agree with you, but I think it's kind of like, I think the stuff like Randall's talked about, like Limited Run and some of these, I know there's a handful of others as well that do similar, like FDG and that do like the Monster Boy. I love Strictly that manual. Limited. Like, that's such a nice little package.
Yep.
And I think it's going to kind of maybe turn into the kind of vinyl type niche for music. You know, I think it's going to be something like that. But like, just real quick, another thing, like you're talking about, like the wanting to be part of the conversation you mentioned, Randall, and that's kind of a bummer sometimes waiting for those physical copies because like the game's out, but like how long did we mention Risk of Rain 2? And you're like, oh, I'm still waiting on my copy. I'm loving all new update. But it's still awesome to have, but it's also like, I get it. Like I see whenever I see the posts of like a new Limited Run release, I'm just like, ah, fuck. Especially if it's a game I already own. Like I just saw the Sayonara Wild Arts one the other day. I'm like, I need that. Like, but I already own it. I don't really need it at all. But like, I want it. But because they all look cool. So like, it's really hard. I'm really torn if I'm honest with myself. But I'm able to finally kind of at least turn the switch off and walk away.
I'd say like, I definitely feel like I'm a little bit healthier about that, too, where before I was getting practically everything for a while. But I was also, you know, in a better financial situation.
Same.
the other thing that I would say is I still lean in, especially if it's something I know I already super love, or if it's something with any kind of license associated with it, because then you get into a license hell situation where that thing might never release in any way regardless. But if you own it physically, they can't pull it back away from you ever, and you still have access to it.
I was just going to say get pulled off a store like Scott Pilgrim style or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Or TMNT. I know there were a couple Turtles games that got pulled, too.
There's a lot of examples of that have happened.
Yeah, and what were you going to say, Deej?
I was going to say, I like going over to your place and like seeing your collection of games. They almost serve better as like decorative, I think, at this point.
It is, especially, I mean, when they go all out and give you a little poster or a little, like, I bought, like, a, I don't know, just little, like, The End Is Nigh comes with, like, a tiny little goop figure of the main character. And, just stupid little things. Oh, I got a little tiny barbarian pouch.
I got my metal case for Bloodstained Ritual
of the
Night.
That's kind
of
cool, though. I'm a sucker for those little
steel books.
It
doesn't fit in any shelf, though. It's not the same size as a, like, Switch box.
It's just like a regular like DVD size case,
kind of, but like it still has like the internal like plastic case that you can put the Switch cartridge in. It's just a weird thing.
That's funny.
I think we could pretty much wrap up the games talk this week unless anybody else wanted to dive deeper into their collecting and game buying habits.
I can talk about that again more later, and I probably will.
I'm sure we will, because we've obviously touched on it a number of times. Yeah. We've always danced around this, and we're like, why don't we just always dig into it a little bit this week?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think we can wrap it up there this week, and as always, you can find the notes and whatnot in the episode description, links and everything. We've got Discord, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff, pursuingpixels.com. I think I forgot to mention that last week. I didn't say the website. But anyways, you can find us online. All the links are in the episode description, timestamps, and we'll catch you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
I'm not going to bring it up on like podcast, but you know how I am still playing like Kingdom of Loathing like every goddamn day because it's just a part of my life.
Are you still?
Oh yeah, I never stop.
How do you have time, John?
Because
that's a good question.
I don't like. I do it
so mad.
Well, I just like we always talk about how many hours John puts in on like every game, and we're like, I don't know how if you're still playing that every day too, man. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, but like. I mean, it's something that I've been doing for like nearly half my life, Jesus Christ.
Is there a sunk cost fallacy happening at this point?
It's a free game. I know, but... So it's an infinite, like, sunk cost fallacy in that. But,